Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
3 minutes after 1 a.m. here on The Fan After Hours, Tommy Lugauer.
Lugie!
Another hour to go. Gordon Damer comes your way at 2 a.m. Coming up this hour, Rob Manfred, what he had to say about realignment with Craig. He joined Craig on The Carton Show with Chris McMonagle earlier today. You can go back and listen to that on the Odyssey app, the rewind function. Plus, there was a report that Brendan Cuddy had about Cody Bellinger and his contract situation or offer from the Yankees in terms of money. So we'll touch on that as well. And your phone calls at 888-808-1019. Let's go to Mario in Long Beach. What's up, Mario?
What's going on, man?
Hey, what's happening?
How you doing? Great show. Nice to see you on the air. And we definitely got to get together at Minnesota's at some time when the weather gets warm.
No doubt about it. Minnesota's one of the great establishments in Long Beach. Certainly a terrific bar. And your boy spent many a nights there in the summer hanging out, having a good time. So it's a great bar and it's a great summer spot. So absolutely.
And by the way, if I could see, the guard of the Jets, Van Roten, he lives right down there.
He's right down by the beach and everything by Minnesota's.
Yeah,
nice.
Yes.
Very
yep.
nice. It's a goal of mine ultimately to live near the beach at some point in my life. Although with my wife, she'll change her mind 45 different times. But we have discussed Long Beach as a possibility to move to it at some point. But we'll see if that ends up happening. But I definitely at some point want to live near the beach.
Listen, anytime you need that help, I've been living here for 30 years. I know all the real estate people. I know everything. I can help you out. You know?
Definitely. If you
want me to leave my phone number with the producer, I could do that.
We're still in the saving process, so we got a little bit of a while for that. But once I get closer and I can maybe convince her for it, because she was on board with it and now she's kind of off the scent. But if it becomes a real thing, then yeah, absolutely, I'll hit you up.
Yeah, good. Now quickly about the teacup cat. How old is it going to be when you get it?
It's a great question. I think it's young. It just was born recently. So I think it's a baby cup. So.
Okay, good. So I think the most important thing, I've had cats my whole life. I think the most important thing is to handle it a lot when it's young, it a lot.
What is that?
Touching it. Picking it up in your lap, let it get used to you touching it, so when it gets older, it's more affectionate. You know?
Yeah, that's really the ultimate goal for my wife. She wants it to be essentially like a pillow that you put on your chest and you snuggle with, and it's warm and it's fluffy, and you put it in your purse. So I think she's going to be all over that, and then I'll obviously have to follow suit with that. But it's amazing. When you don't realize the cat people. Because the dog people, because the dog people talk about their dogs. They walk their dogs. You see them with their dogs. You know who the dog people are. You go in a building, you know who the dog people are. The cat people, they kind of hide in silence because cats kind of just stay in the house. And the cat people don't like to say that they're cat people sometimes. So when I bring it up in the air, I find out all these people have cats, which I appreciate. So I am now joining a family of cat people here.
Yeah. And you'll find it's going to be like an addition to your family. It's like your kid almost.
Well, that I'm not looking forward to. That's not really a great way to hype it up. Because
That's what you're saying there? Well, Talk to me in a year. You might change your mind.
Yeah, I'm sure I will. But I was looking for more a roommate than I was a child in this spot. But but it sounds like it's going to be more in the child realm. Okay. All right. I'll try to adjust.
Luke, I got a Nick thing. Can I bring it up?
Of course.
Okay, great. I really like what's happening with the Knicks right now. They just have to, be a little bit more consistent. It'll be nice when they get there, when Hart comes back in. Cat's a little bit up and down, but he is what he is,
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you heard the interview when Dolan was on with Carton.
I don't know if
you heard that.
I did.
It was interesting, and they're going to run it back with this guy. As far as the odds, he's not going anywhere. He just made a, I don't know if you saw what he made a statement, what he said. He said, "I do not ask for a trade. I never will ask for a trade, ever." And then he went on to say, I'm loyal to my contract. This guy's a guy of character. We don't see people like this anymore, like Giannis. I'm loyal to my contract. Milwaukee took me 18th in the draft I wasn't looked at highly. Yep. I won a championship with them. I will not leave. If they want to be fair to him, they should ask him. They should just trade him. You know, really, because he'll never get a second championship in Milwaukee.
No, definitely not, Mario. And obviously, he won the championship there, and he's a Milwaukee legend, and he's done so much for that franchise. Look, Giannis, and you brought up the Dolan interview, and James was asked about, do you see the Knicks making a big trade here at the deadline? And he said, I don't, but I could always be overruled by Leon. Giannis is not happening. It's certainly not happening during the season. And Dolan also said, look, we have this core. We have this team. We want to see them through, and I think we can win a championship. That's why I didn't want to hang the banner for the NBA Cup. I wanted to hang we will hang a banner. It'll be for the championship. And I love that, and I want to give him like a big old hug when he said that, because he gets it, and that's the deal. And I was cool with winning the NBA Cup. It's an accomplishment. But you can't hang a banner for the NBA Cup when you consider this is a franchise that hasn't won a championship in decades. It is the Garden. It is the Mecca. It is the arena of arenas. And the fact that they have the option to do, like the Lakers, the first year they hung the banner, but I'm sure Adam Silver was like, hey, can you please hang it? Because why would the Lakers want to hang that thing? I'm sure they didn't, but they were probably, strongly advised to do so because it was the first year, and a lot of people think it's a joke to begin with to even have this kind of tournament because players should be incentivized to play because they're getting paid a lot of money to play. So the idea that they have to like sweeten the pot with more money is absurd. Okay. And then Milwaukee won, they hung the banner, but they're the Bucks. They're not quite on the same level as a, name brand, certainly, as the Knicks, and then championship-wise as the Lakers. So I applaud that decision. But as far as the deadline stuff and trading, Giannis is just not happening. Now, could a Jose Alvarado, could a Dante DiVincenzo reunion, things like that, could that happen? Absolutely. And you're right about Josh Hart. They've missed him. The energy, the rebounding, all that stuff. Josh Hart brings so much to the table, the intangibles. And he sometimes can be, I don't think taken for granted for, but you notice when he's gone just how much he does night in and night out and how much they miss him. 888-888-808-1019 is the number to call. Let's go to Andrew on the Fan. Now, the reason I don't say your town, Andrew, is because, number one, I can't pronounce it. And even though I practiced it in the break with Fliegelman, I did like 3 or 4 takes, and I think I stuck the landing on all of them. When you're live on the radio, you don't want to say it and flub it because I don't want to make the Pequannock people upset because there's a lot of people that live there, and they'll be upset with me. Now, I don't think I said it right based on your laugh. So how do you pronounce the town you're in?
Tommy, it's Pequannock, but even funnier, Pequannock, but I grew up in Secaucus. Two bad towns to say. So I was like, let me go with the town I live in versus the town I grew up in. So go figure, you know?
Yeah, no, Secaucus I know, obviously, because of Goodfellas and Tommy DeVito. And you're going to tell me something today, tough guy. So obviously, Secaucus put on the map because of that movie. But yeah, no, the Pequannock, now that I got it, is not one that I've heard a lot. That's a town, by listening and calling in, there are certain towns that, it feels like all our listeners live in like 6 towns, but we rarely get anybody 100%. From Pequannock,
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100+ meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first 2 orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Of course. Happy to be the first. So I'm actually just dropped a friend home, and we were at the Ranger game tonight, and it was absolutely pitiful.
It was
rough.
Yeah.
It was definitely rough.
Yeah, Andrew, I don't know if you heard, but I take the Long Island Railroad in from Kew Gardens, and obviously it's coming from the island. And there, look, I'm not an Islander fan, but the Islanders have my support. Grew up near the Coliseum, so you like to think that Islanders, Long Island. But there are tons and tons and tons and tons of Ranger fans in Long Island. I'm not going to dispute that. And there are always tons of them on the train. And I can't but help and think in the back of my mind when I see these people who are having a grand old time, they're drinking. You idiots. You're going, no offense, but like, not idiots, but like, you poor people, you're going to this game. They can't win at home. They never show up.
And no,
it's
they just, can't.
It's pathetic.
It's pathetic. And just to top it off, I'm a Giants season ticket holder for 9 years, growing up in Secaucus with the stadium in my backyard. And I actually gave them up this past year because I am just so absolutely fed up with them. They're ruining football for me. Not that I will ever root for the Eagles or anything like that, but it's been absolutely miserable. So, you know, my grandfather always said, you got to root for the New York teams because you got to root for the home teams. Yep. But I feel, you know, I listen to the fan all the time. This is my first time calling up. I'm, you know, it's pumped up. But I feel like, has anybody really talked about the Kosh, was it the Kosh family buying 5 or 10% of the Giants?
The Giants.
I feel like there might be an exit plan with Mara, you know, unfortunately with the cancer and everything.
Yeah.
You know, God bless, wish you the best. But, like, as a Giant fan, growing up in Secaucus, I'm 34, having season tickets, which was a dream of mine for 9 years, and them ruining it, I feel like, you know, working in corporate America, it always starts from the top. And I feel like, I know Mara is sick, and it's unfortunate, Tisch family, but I feel like we don't talk about the top often enough with the family and everything. And now with the Kosh family buying in, I feel like maybe there's hope that they might be buying more of the Giants. So, you know, just trying to throw it out there because I never hear that from anybody calling in.
Yeah, I mean, and I appreciate the call. And I wasn't calling Ranger fans idiots, let me be clear. It's just more like the naivete of all these Ranger fans on the train. They're all happy. They're excited. They're walking up. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, this team's 5-10 at the Garden, or was 5-10 going into this game. They rarely even score a goal at home. And yet you guys are walking in thinking, what? I mean, it makes you a great fan, but it's also like, dude, I mean, maybe you just want a night out or something, because it's like, this is so bad. Like, there's bad and then there's really bad. They're in that really bad category. Yeah, as far as the ownership thing, like you said, the 10%, I think the Giants are really in a good position right now in terms of their organization. It's really more about the focus to me. Like, I always let the ownership stuff kind of like, I don't want to say it's like above my pay grade, but I don't think the Giants are in a situation ownership-wise like it was with the Wilpons, or how many feel with like Woody Johnson, or how many felt with James Dolan. But it really more becomes about the hiring and who you get as head coach. And that to me is really the big thing. Like, I think the Giants, John Mara, the Maras, they have and always have put the resources and the effort and the care into the franchise as far as everything that goes into it. So it's not like some ownerships that are just, oh man, you just want them out of here because you feel like they're not all in. John Mara, the Maras, the Tisch family, they've always been all in with this team. And there's been a lot of success. Now, not recently, not in the last 10 years or so, but there has been a lot. And I think the future is bright, but they got to get this right here. And they got to get this head coaching hiring to the guy that can win games. And for me, it's been Mike McCarthy. It's still Mike McCarthy. John Harbaugh obviously changed the game. He's neck and neck with McCarthy. In many ways, I think the dream is starting to slip here. Especially when you consider what's going on with Miami. They fire Mike McDaniel. It just feels fishy. Because there was a mystery team reportedly that reached out a couple days ago. Once Harbaugh was fired, we all speculated who the team might be. Miami was one of those teams that was speculated. And here we are a couple days later. Mike McDaniel, who didn't have the greatest run with the Dolphins, but made the playoffs a couple times, had an over 500 record. All of a sudden he gets fired. Couple days after the season and a couple days after Harbaugh gets fired and there's a mystery team, and we know John Harbaugh has a relationship with ownership in Miami. So I'm connecting the dots here. I'm not saying Harbaugh done deal going to the Dolphins, but the dream that a lot of Giant fans had of get Harbaugh, sign him tomorrow, sign him yesterday, don't let him out of the building, it's a no-brainer, he's here, it's slipping. Now, maybe you regain it. Maybe Harbaugh's got his heart and mindset. Or we don't know what's going to happen this weekend. Does Buffalo lose? Or they hire McDermott? They fire McDermott, and then there's an opening to work with Josh Allen. I mean, who wouldn't want that? Green Bay, LaFleur could be out. So the landscape has changed a lot already and can continue to change. Now, as far as the games, and we'll kind of pepper them throughout the hour here, is like my thoughts on it. Number one, I like Indiana tomorrow night. I think they will win the game. If you like them to win, I would lay the 3.5. Oregon, to me, the teams that they have faced, like Indiana this year, have pushed them around a little bit, including Texas Tech, who, if they had any kind of quarterback play, would have won the game. I mean, that defense, which is a top-level SEC-type defense, deserved a lot better than what they got. Their quarterback was a total hack. He was hideous. And Oregon won that game. But if you look at Penn State, this is Oregon. The game against Indiana, the game against Penn State, the game against Iowa, the game against Texas Tech, those defenses were able to slow the Oregon high-flying offense down. Now, Oregon's defense has played well, but Indiana feels like, to me, the team that's on the mission, the team that's on destiny, and it's going to be their year. So I like Indiana tomorrow night. Now, as far as football, we'll go Saturday first. I always have this mentality when it comes to, first of all, I think the Rams are going to the Super Bowl. I think they're going to win the Super Bowl. I've thought that really all year that they were going. I had Bills beating the Rams in the Super Bowl to start the year. Now I think it's the Rams. And then kind of in the middle of the year, I sort of flipped that the Rams would win the Super Bowl. And it's wide open. And if you're a football fan, you got to love this. Like, really, give me the two teams in the Super Bowl. Like, it's tough. Like it's not cut and dry in either conference. But I think the Rams will get there. The 10.5 is interesting. Now, this is obviously for gambling purposes. If you're not a gambling fan, then I'm fine. You just want to hear who wins. Rams, as far as the number, Carolina beat the Rams outright at home this year. I believe the line was very similar. It was like 10. This, to me, feels like a line where they are begging you to take Carolina. They're begging you. Like, we have 10.5 points. Carolina already beat the Rams at home. This game is home as well, and they're giving you 10.5. Why are they giving you 10.5? They don't just do things for you for your own good. So the line to me screams Rams. Now, they've been shaky. Their defense hasn't been good. As of late, Adams has been out. He'll be back. I would lay the number there. Carolina feels like a trendy dog. Trendy dogs usually have fleas. Bears, Packers, this is an interesting one. The Packers are, ever since they lost Parsons, and the injuries, obviously with Love, they've been kind of banged up. Their defense was a complete no-show against the Ravens. They kind of are stumbling into the playoffs. The Bears, we know, 1-1 in the year against Green Bay. They had that crazy comeback, overtime win on a Saturday night game. But Green Bay, in the two meetings with Chicago, have had the lead 99% of the time, yet it's 1-1. I mean this respectfully, but I think a Bear fan listening right now would agree with me. You're a loser franchise. You are. And you're a loser franchise until you're not a losing franchise anymore. And whether it's the double doink game or all the years of just losing and losing, Ben Johnson has done a terrific job. Caleb Williams has been good. They run the football. Manungai, the Rutgers product, Swift. They have a lot of talent. They've turned all things around in 1 year. Green Bay has been so bad, right? They've been bad. They're favored in the game. Why? Why? The people that make these lines are very smart. They know the deal. Why is Green Bay favored in the game? No idea. Absolutely no idea. It doesn't make any sense. It's fishy. This one, though, I'm going to go a little bit more with my gut. I've gone back and forth on this one. Because I think, like, my initial, and also, too, my initial thought was Chicago. And that whenever you have, like, an initial thought on a game, that's probably, there's a reason for that. You know what I mean? Like, they set up a line and you go, oh, it's got to be the Bears. Well, no, it's not. It's the other team because the line is supposed to make you think that instantly because they want action on both sides. But I'm going to go Bears. Even after things I said there. I'm going to go Bears. Don't feel strongly about it. Again, gamble responsibly. I'm just telling you what I think. I did win the pool here with Evan and Tiki this year, and I've been having a very good year. But again, I don't know anything more than you know. I'm just giving you my opinion, and I'm giving you my history of just knowing lines and to a degree and understanding kind of how these lines are set up and how I interpret them. Doesn't mean it's perfect. Doesn't mean I'm going to be right. I'm wrong more than I'm right when it comes to the stuff everyone is. So obviously gamble responsibly, put a couple shekels on it, enjoy the games. I think we might get snow in Chicago on Saturday night. So I'm here for that. That'll be fun. You know, you're talking about one of the oldest rivalries in the NFL, who had a classic game a couple weeks ago. You mix in a little snow there. That's some good stuff. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Let's go to Jesse in Queens. What's up, Jesse?
Hey, how's everything going?
Good
show.
Thank you.
I'm enjoying it. About the Mets, I mean, listen, if Stearns and Cohen wanted to go another way, just be honest. You know, come out to the fans and say we're doing something else and all that.
Yeah.
But as soon as free agency started, Stearns was like, "Oh, we're in on this guy. We're talking to this guy." Reports are coming out all the time. They're about to sign this guy.
You're hearing that about Tucker now with them. Yep.
You know, it's like they're gaslighting the Mets fans, you know, honestly. You know,
well,
that's what it feels like.
No, I, you know what it is, Jesse? The one thing I will say, and I brought this up when we had that week with Edwin and with Pete, Diaz going to the Dodgers and Alonso going to the Orioles, and it was just mass hysteria, and it was a tough time to be positive Tommy, and people were attacking me. And I did say that whenever, you know, whether they do an amazing day, if they're doing an amazing day, or if they do have a big free agent signing and there's a press conference and it's, you know, not just tweets, but if Cohen and Stearns sit down, they should explain their plan. Because we're all trying to figure it out here. Now, some people have just gone the route of, nope, this is a mid-market team now. It's all about a casino. We've been hoodwinked. This is just all about that and not about trying to win a championship. Then there's some that don't think they want to spend money, or they're just not sure what the plan is. And the best thing that I can take from what the Mets are doing, and meaning what I can pull from it without them specifically or explicitly telling us, is that they right now, whether it's a Soto, unless it's a Soto or Yamamoto, the Mets don't want to hand out long-term contracts. Maybe they do for Tucker. Maybe they do for Bellinger. But they were unwilling to do that for a lot of players. Soto, they did. Yamamoto, they would have. So it's short-term deals. Whether it's Polanco, Simeon on a little bit of a short deal. I know it was a trade. Weaver, you know, we've seen that with the starting pitching. They want to get athletic. They want defense. They want versatility. And they want to have avenues for their young players to play. Jet Williams, Carson Benj, etc. And they are trying to build that young core and surround it, obviously, by Juan Soto, a generational talent, a young pitching staff led by McClain, and sign more of short-term deals until the right guy really comes around, and then they will give him more of a long-term contract. They seem definitely unwilling to do it with pitching. Now, we'll find out with Skubal next year, because Skubal, I think, is a different animal. I know he's in his early 30s, and I don't like giving it to pitchers in their early 30s, long-term deals. I've said that about Max Fried. Skubal's different. Why? Because he's the best pitcher in baseball. You want to say Skeens is? Fine. You could have Skeens. I could have Skubal. We could flip it. It's splitting hairs. So for a guy like that in his early 30s, when it's Skubal, I would be willing to go as high as he would like, and I think the Mets will as well. Would it be better if they laid it out for us? Yeah, absolutely. But that's why I'm here. I could basically take what they're doing and explain it to you, the positive side of it, and we go from there. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Let's go to Fernando in Newark. What's up, Fernando?
Hey, Tommy. What's up? I love your show.
Thank you.
You are super talented. The future of the station, in my opinion.
Well, thank you.
So a few points. First of all, I want to tell you that I was listening last night. I love Jay from Woodmere as well. Just like you do. So that was the first thing I wanted to tell you.
Yeah, Jay's great. Actually, he's on hold. We will get to you, Jay, because he is on a, like all of us, this quest to find a softer phrase for tanking. And Jay really puts the work in, and when he comes on the air, he's got so many, you know, notes and origins of his thought process. So he's a great call and a great listen. So we will get to him in a little bit. I'm glad that you enjoy it, Fernando.
Oh, nice. I'm looking forward. Anyway, so I'm actually going to look for some positive Tommy, because I am in such a bad place as a Yankees fan. The Yankees got to get better, build a team. I think, honestly, the Yankees are in a worse place than the Mets, because for, I think it was the past 7 years, they've had Judge and Stanton, and they've been trying to build a team around it. And I could just give you the list of players that they've had who have not panned out, like Gary Sanchez, Gleyber Torres, Miguel Andujar, Gio Urshela, Luke Voit, all these players who are supposed to be good and just never panned out. Something has to be changed. And, like, let's say they sign Bellinger. That's just playing catch-up. You're not getting better. I think there has to be serious moves. Some of them I would recommend is getting rid of Jazz, signing Bo Bichette, cashing out a go. I don't either like Aaron Boone. And I want to hear a positive take on this because, honestly, it's looking horrible.
Yeah, Fernando, a lot. I mean, obviously, Press Secretary Boone is not going anywhere. And Brian Cashman is a Supreme Court justice leader. You know, he's part of the Supreme Court. Brian Cashman's not going anywhere either. And the Yankees are very comfortable with their GM and their manager because 99% of sports franchises would sign for what the Yankees are. Business, which is ridiculous, billions, places packed all the time. They win every year, regular season. They hit a lot of home runs. They're an exciting team. You go into the season every year as a Yankee fan, even if you're not happy with the offseason, and they've had a very, very quiet offseason. Very quiet. But you know the expectations that are there, and it's World Series or bust. Do they go the extra mile anymore? No. Are they all in, like, say, the Dodgers are? No. But you can pencil them in for 90 wins every year and a team that's going to be exciting. And when you go to a Yankee game, there's a very good chance you're going to see a win, you're going to see a Judge homer, and you're going to go home happy. Now, October's been a different story. As far as the offseason, I don't understand why they haven't been more aggressive, and maybe they are, and we're just not hearing about it, pursuing Kyle Tucker. To me, that was the fit for them. Like, when I looked at my offseason plan for the Yankees, I had Ben Rice as the catcher, and I was trading Austin Wells. I was putting Tucker at first base. I was putting together a package for Sandy Alcantara. Now, Cabrera was a name that was batted around as far as the Yankees being interested. He ended up ultimately getting traded to the Cubs. But I could still see, and I saw something today where the Yankees are in the market for a starter, which I think they should be when you consider Cole coming off the injury. Rodon is hurt. There are, if not question marks, there is reason when you look at that rotation, even though it's strong, to add depth. So I was thinking about a deal where I would trade Luis Gil, where I would trade Austin Wells, and I would try to clear up the catcher position to put Rice there, and then I would sign Tucker over at first base. Now, third base, McMahon is there. He kind of, where are you going to put Bichette? I mean, you could trade Jazz, absolutely. Maybe as a part of a deal to get a starting pitcher. The outfield situation, I think Brian Cashman was caught with his pants down, so to say, with Grisham. I mean, the guy took the qualifying offer. You had to imagine that he was going to, only because even off the year he had, and I would be stunned if he repeats this production, teams out there were not going to give him, you know, a couple of years because they were banking on the idea of that was a career year. We're not going to overpay for a career year, and he could be the Yankees. Not problem, but let the Yankees have him for the qualifying offer. Now, as far as Bellinger, this is from, now, Jack Curry a couple days ago said that there's a wide gap between Bellinger and the Yankees. This was Brendan Cuddy. He tweeted this out, a couple hours ago. Sources: Yankees' latest multi-year offer to free agent Cody Bellinger was for more than $30 million AAV as Bellinger's side seeks 7 years. So I take that as the Yankees are willing to pay a lot per year. Maybe they don't want to go as many years. And is the impending or possible lockout? I know Rob Manfred discussed that today with Craig and C-Mac. Is that giving teams pause for long-term deals? Like, there was even some stuff and some scuttlebutt that Kyle Tucker could be looking for a short-term deal now, which puts the Mets back in play. The Blue Jays, to me, seem like the suitor for Tucker, but the Mets should absolutely be interested. I'm not sure why the Yankees aren't interested. And if it wasn't for And I'm not one of them, but if it wasn't for the Mets offseason that they were having and the frustration that a lot of Met fans have had for it, the Yankees would be getting a lot of attention for their lack of activity here. What exactly are they doing? I don't know. Because you can't even say that they're running it back. If they don't re-sign Cody Bellinger and they don't make like another trade for a pitcher, they're not even running it back because they're not going to be as good without Bellinger. And you're taking away one of your major contributors from last year. And Aaron Judge probably has, what, five more prime years left? Prime. You've wasted a lot of them, as far as for championships. And I just keep waiting every year for the Yankees to kind of go all in. Like, to really have that off season where, and look, they always, you know, Soto here and a Cole there, and yes, they brought Judge back. It's not like they don't spend. But this felt like, to me, when you realize the gap between the Yankees and the Dodgers, and really the gap between the Yankees and the Blue Jays. And the Blue Jays have already been active. I don't like the Cease contract, but they still brought him in. They're aggressively, reportedly going after Kyle Tucker. So they're trying to get better and improve upon a team that had the Dodgers on the ropes. Like, Toronto beat the Yankees this year, easily, by the way. They almost and should have beaten the Dodgers or had them on the ropes in 6 and 7. The Yankees didn't come close, really, to beating the Dodgers in the World Series, you know, now 2 years ago. So those two teams are head and shoulders above the Yankees. And what have the Yankees done to improve themselves this offseason? Nothing. If anything, they'll get worse if they can't get on the same page with Bellinger. And they can't get this deal done. Now, I thought it was 50-50 Mets-Yankees. If Bellinger is seeking the 7 years like Cuddy is reporting here, that would obviously be outside the comfort zone of David Stearns. Now, is Bellinger the type of player that Stearns loves and would covet and would feel like, hey, 7 years is worth it? Now, he's versatile. He could play center. He could play the corners. He could play first base when you want to DH Soto. I think so. It remains to be seen whether or not David Stearns thinks so. And it remains to be seen if Cody Bellinger and the Yankees can agree upon his value in terms of whether it's money or years or both. And we'll find that hopefully soon because the baseball offseason is just painfully slow at times. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We'll get back to those calls. Got another half hour or so until Gordon Damer comes your way. We'll discuss some of the things Rob Manfred had to say in his interview with Craig and Big Mac today earlier on The Fan. Wrap it up with the calls as well. It's After Hours. It's Tommy Lugauer here on The Fan.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop, assemble, and bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
140 here on The Fan. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie, After Hours. Ready for the club right now. 2 a.m. I mean, in New York City, you're just getting rolling right now. Going four. And then, of course, you have After Hours after the club's close. But the After Hours here on The Fan, this is my Friday night, so I'll be back with everybody Sunday into Monday. We'll break down all the games from the weekend, the college football semifinals, all the NFL playoff games, all the news, the newest news from the coaches carousel search, John Harbaugh, Mike McCarthy, Antonio Pierce is supposed to get interviewed in the next couple days with the Giants. The Giants are interviewing Mike McCarthy next week. John Harbaugh is set to start interviewing with teams next week, so there'll be a lot to discuss. I have you 5 hours in the overnight, Sunday into Monday, so midnight to 5 a.m., Sunday night, Monday morning. Okay, The Fan Focus is sponsored by Chef IQ Precision Cooking. Effortless results, chefiq.com. Just mentioned the NFL playoffs, and last segment I gave you my feel on the Saturday games, so let's take a look at the games on Sunday. The Buffalo Bills are a flawed team. I don't like their head coach. Their defense stinks. But what they do have, two things strongly going for them. They have the best player in football in Josh Allen, and they have a ton of playoff experience. And as good as Jacksonville has been this year, Liam Cohen, his first year, Trevor Lawrence playing his rear end off, and the Jags have been hot. In this spot, I would take Buffalo. I would lean on their experience. I would lean on Josh Allen. Buffalo better get to the Super Bowl, but they, at the very least, better get past this round. Because without Mahomes, without the Ravens, even though they handle the Ravens, but without the Chiefs here, it is, you know, not wide open, but this is an opportunity that Buffalo may never get again, and they have to take advantage of it. So I'm going to take the Bills in that game. The next game, Eagles 49ers. I know a lot of fans, you know, Giant fans will be locked in, interested on this, and we want the Eagles to lose. I got bad news for you. That's not going to happen. Now, Philadelphia's been an up-and-down team this year, especially offensively, and they've had just an odd year. And I don't think that they're just going to turn it on in the playoffs, meaning, like, I don't think they've been going through the motions defending champs, and they've been kind of going through the motions during the regular season. But what I do think is that San Francisco is very banged up right now. And they were manhandled and dominated by the Seahawks, even though it didn't reflect in the scoreboard. And I think Philly will have the same type of success with running the ball. I think their defense will shut down the Niners' offense. And I think Philly soars through this. The number, it's 5.5. I would lay it. I think the Eagles, it started out at like 3, I think it opened up at. So it's already shot up to 5.5. So the money's pouring in on Philadelphia. I like the Eagles. I would lay that number. So I like Buffalo. I like Philly. And then the final game of the day, obviously Monday night, there's one. The final game of the day is the Patriots and the Chargers. Tricky one here, because a part of me thinks New England, they have this great year, first year with Vrabel, May in the MVP conversation. It would be not surprising if they get to the playoffs and they lay an egg. Like, you have this great year, and then you get to the playoffs and you face a guy in Jim Harbaugh who's got a ton of experience coaching these games. Not that Vrabel doesn't, but Harbaugh does. Herbert, who certainly has something to prove. The defense has been playing well. I would scoop the 3.5 with the Chargers. I would. Because I think they can win the game. And even if they don't, I could cover the 3. So I'm going to take, I always want to say San Diego. They should be in San Diego. LA doesn't even want one team. How they have two teams is beyond me. And the fans of San Diego deserve to keep their team, and it's ridiculous. But give me the Los Angeles Chargers, +3.5. Eagles laying the 5.5. And the Bills laying the 0.5. Now, as far as the Monday night game, and I'll be on after that game on Monday night as well for after hours. I think the Texans are going to the Super Bowl. I think they have the best defense, but this game scares me. Now, I know Mike Tomlin, what Mike Tomlin does is get to the playoffs, and when he gets there, he loses. And maybe that was their Super Bowl last week, and Rodgers gets the last laugh over the Jets. He gets to the playoffs. He rides out in the sunset here. I always worry about the Steelers, though, in these spots, in a bit, if I'm going against them, because they're getting points at home. They haven't lost a Monday night game at home in like 20-something years. So it scares me. And I don't think Steelers +3 is a bad bet. And if you're feeling froggy, money line. But I would lay it with Houston. I think they have the best defense in the NFL. I think they will give Aaron Rodgers, even though they're getting Metcalf back, I think they will give him fits. I think they'll find a way. They've been a red-hot team. They'll find a way to win. The only thing that scares me with Houston is their offense. With Stroud, and I worry about Pittsburgh and getting fluky turnovers and just one of these crazy games in when they're home, which they're very tough, especially when they're getting points. But I would lay it with Houston. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Jay. He's been waiting a while. Jay in Woodmere is on the fan. Now, Jay, you are on this quest to find a softer phrase. We all are, for tanking. And you always come with great, you know, passion and energy and information. So I expect nothing less from you this evening. Jay, I had the long buildup. I'll even filibuster for you. You know what, Jay? Because you're so nice, I'm going to put you on hold. We'll get to you. Don't worry. I know Jay's there. He's been holding for a while. Maybe he had to go take a tinkle or something. So we'll give him an opportunity to come back on. No biggie, as they would say. But I tell you what is a biggie, or what could be a biggie. Realignment. And that's something that we know has been coming to baseball for a long time here, if you've been paying attention. And Rob Manfred has all but said that. He was on with Craig today, he was on with McMonagle today, and he was asked about realignment. And the one thing, look, I understand why you would realign. I get the travel, I get all that. It's a long season, too long. The one thing, though, I'm interested in, and the one thing we should all be interested in when it comes to realignment, is, are we headed towards Mets, Yankees, Yankees, Mets in the same division? And based on what Rob Manfred said today, that's not happening. I, for one, would be all for it. Now, look, there have been times where I said, you know what, the Subway Series, I'm over it. I'm done with it. It's not like it used to be in the beginning. And then every year I look and I say, wow, these games are not only sold out, but there's an energy, there's a passion, especially when you consider the Soto dynamic. And if you think that's going away anytime soon, we know the Yankee fan is still, many are going through the seven stages of Soto grief. So there is still a lot of buzz and juice when it comes to Yankees Mets, especially when it comes to Juan Soto. Like, that's not going anywhere anytime soon. The Yankees got the last laugh this past season. They won the battle. The war is still waging. So I would be all for it. It doesn't sound like it's going to happen, but I would be really excited to see the Yankees and Mets in the same division. I think that would be great for our fandom. I think it would be great for our city. I think it would be great for the station. I think it would be great for content. I think it would be great all the way around. If you could cut out games against, I don't know, you know, name your random team, and you would add Yankee games to the Mets schedule and Mets games to the Yankee schedule, I mean, who wouldn't be excited for that? 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to John in West Babylon. What's up, John?
Loogie, loogie, loogie.
Hey.
Did I hear you correctly? You're traveling to go get a cat?
Yes and no. I am not traveling to get the cat. My wife is, though.
Okay. You live in the same town as me?
No, I do not.
Oh, I thought you were five. I don't know why.
I think you're confusing me with someone who sounds just like me, Sean Marash. Sean Marash lives in Babylon or near Babylon, doesn't he?
You guys were always fighting.
It's okay, John, and I appreciate it, man. But we sound like, you know, a lot of people think Sean and I, if you're a fan of the Muppets, we're the two in the balcony, Waldorf and Statler. And sometimes you don't know the difference between the two of us. We sound alike. We have similar styles, although I'm obviously way better. That's why I have my own show, and he's just a sidekick. But you were thinking I'm Sean. So I don't.
You're positive Tommy.
Yes, I am. I'm positive that I'm positive Tommy. So are you do you have cats for sale? Is that why? Was that what you were going to tell me, that I could have had a cat?
No. I wouldn't sell a cat. So where I live, my next door neighbors feed like five stray cats that roam around the neighborhood.
Got it.
And I sit out in front of my house, and they walk by me all the time. And I try to call them over, and they just look at me, ignore me.
Well, because they don't speak English, so they don't understand you. But
except for one,
speaks English.
Oreo.
Oh, he knows English. Okay, well there you go. He's bilingual.
He knows English, so he. Yeah. I was sitting out there just about 2 months ago. I'm sitting out there. I just go, and he comes, jumps up in my lap, curls up in a ball, starts purring. He's now my cat.
Well, now it's like literally your cat? Like you took him, or like it's like, hey, that's my guy. You know, that's my cat. That's my guy.
I can't bring him in a house because I got two dogs.
Oh, I got you.
One of which I drove 17 hours to Georgia to go get because of my wife.
Yeah, and that's what we're talking about here, John. Now, you're a better man than me. My wife told me, hey, we're getting this Persian teacup cat. And I'm like, okay, cool. That's fine. I mean, I'd rather not spend the kind of money we're spending on it, but it's what you want. Fine. It's not a hill to die on. So I remember having this conversation with her about a week or so ago, and I said, because we don't have a car, because we've lived in the city, we've bounced around, so I don't want to look for parking spots, and I'm about to lose that battle as well, but I don't want a car or haven't had a car in a while. So I said to her, I said, listen, whenever we have to pick up the cat, you know, is it out on Long Island? Is it in New Jersey? Because we don't have the car. We got an Uber. We got to take a train. She goes, the cat's not in New Jersey. I go, oh, okay. So maybe like on the island? She goes, no. And in my mind, I'm like, all right, maybe this is Connecticut. She goes, I don't remember the state it's in. I go, and I know my wife. She does know the state. She just doesn't want to tell me the state because it's ridiculously far. And I go, where is it? She goes, it's in Missouri. And I'm like, I'm not going to Missouri for the cat. So the cat better start walking, or better hitchhike, or better, you know, book a flight to get here, because I'm not going. She goes, well, we could hire a nanny to bring it. I'm like, I'm not hiring anybody to get it. I'm like, this cat better figure out a way to get here. Now, that didn't happen, and my wife will be going to Missouri to get it herself, and you should say, well, I'm a bad husband. Well, I'm not a bad husband. I'm paying for the cat. And I'm allowing the cat to be part of my ecosystem and my atmosphere. And the litter's going to smell. I'll warm up to it, I'm sure. But, you know, I wasn't totally thrilled with the whole situation. And I thought we were picking up in Piscataway. I thought we were going to, Rockville Center for this stupid thing. Not Missouri. Quite frankly, I don't even know where Missouri is. But I know it's far because I have no idea where it is. So it can't be close. But we are getting one in a couple weeks, and that'll be a topic of a lot of conversation on the air. I'll be complaining about it, and the cat people will come out of the woodworks to help me get through the cat stuff. So let's go to Jack on the fan. What's up, Jack?
Hey, Tommy. First, let me welcome you to the late night.
Well, thank you. Happy to be
congratulate
here.
You on getting your opportunity.
Appreciate it.
And as selfishly as a Met fan, I'll be glad to have somebody who's excited after Met wins or shares my frustration when they lose.
Well, Jack, I think you'll learn from me, and we'll learn this together. You'll not get a lot of frustration out of positive, Tommy. I will be here to give you the positive side of all things Mets, which you might say is not the right thing, but I think it's quite entertaining, and it's good for the soul. And I think that both Met fans and Yankee fans are going to enjoy it, because based on a lot of the reaction I get from social media or from the radio waves here, everybody is on board with the positive Tommy stuff, because it's a fun experience for all, and it's necessary, because you brought it up, Jack. You're frustrated at times, and I'm here to help you with that frustration.
Yeah, and there's just too many whiners, so we need some positive Tommy.
Absolutely.
You know, there's just only so much whining that we can stand. I had a Mets and Yankees point really, really quickly. I don't know how much time you have. I could talk cats with you, too, but because I had cats and dogs, and there is a way to keep your house from not smelling. Nobody knew I had a cat, and we had a cat box right by the door where people walked in. There was a closet right there.
Yep.
But the key thing is we never overfilled. I didn't overfill the cat box. I kept like an inch and a half of litter.
Yeah, we have the electronic one. I don't know if that matters or not, but we have the
I know it's like lots of high tech stuff.
Yeah, it's high tech.
But the big thing, there's lots of high tech stuff. But the biggest thing is I just checked that thing twice a day and I scooped out everything. I had a scooper for the solids, but I had a way to tilt it so the liquids would cake up on the bottom, and I would take them out.
Yeah.
And just by regular maintenance, and it didn't take a lot of time. Maybe it took 15 minutes.
Yeah,
a day.
It's like tying your shoes, brushing your teeth. Yeah, we have the electronic one, so I don't think I'm going to have to be scooping anything. I better not be. Like, that wasn't part of the deal. So if I'm scooping and pouring any liquid, I'm going to be, you know, not happy about it. But I think the electronic kitty litter thingy will take care of all the scooping and the pouring. But what do you have with the baseball? No, it's okay. That's all right. No, you're good. Yeah, you're good there. And you know, really, that's a great way to end the show with a curse. But we got it. Don't worry. Only I and Fliegelman and Gordon Damer heard that, and the people on hold. But it's okay. That's all right. And that's more on me. We got into the cat stuff instead of the baseball stuff, but we have plenty of time to do baseball. Because baseball is still a long way away. We got to get through the winter. So we have plenty of hours here on After Hours to talk baseball. All right, that'll do it for me. My thanks to Fliegelman. My thanks to Connor Green. Gordon Damer comes your way next. I will be back with you for After Hours. And I appreciate everybody. It's been a great first week of After Hours. I've had a blast. Continue to want to have that as we go forward. I will be back with you this Sunday into Monday, midnight to 5 a.m. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy all the games. We'll have a lot to talk about then. See ya.
Sports Radio 101.